نحمده ونصلي على رسوله. لن تنالوا البر حتى تنفقوا مما تحبون. You will never attain the higher level of righteousness until you spend from that which you love. When you love something, then proportionate to your love, you spend. And your spending is a token that you love. When a person is standing in the line to get married, and he knows there's a big queue, so he has to do something to impress the girl that he's proposing for. Sometimes the youngsters, you have to tell them to bring yourself at their age, and then tell them, "But see, Qurbani time, and there'll be a lot of aunties and everybody watching. So you don't act like a brave person to catch that gapata, put it down, and show your strength. Don't do that." But Allah knows. This one kala is looking here, someone else doing at that side, and he knows what you're doing. So this verse is saying that until you don't spend of that which you love, the mercy of Allah Ta'ala is this, that not all, some of what you like. The word bir means neki ke kamal, neki ka kamal, the perfection in righteousness. So when we want something, we want the best. We don't want something second grade, we don't want something inferior. If there's a old Corolla here and someone pulls out a brand new work, right, brand new, top of the range, right, ultimate of the year, right, because every year they say ultimate, that means yearly ultimate, not ultimate ever, ultimate for the year. So he's pulling it out, 10 million rand job, and he's got an old Corolla. He says, "Both go for the same price. This 5,000, that is 5,000. What do you want?" Obviously, whether you're pious or impious, you want the thing that is good, perfect, best performance, best service, best maintenance, you go for that. So Allah Ta'ala wants the best from you. He wants the best for you. And for the best, you have to give the best price. You want the best, then give the best price. The Sahaba Ikram, radiallahu anhu, when they heard the verse, then Abu Talha radiallahu anhu, and he offered his whole Bayraha. I think it's pronounced in about five different ways. Bayruha, Bayraha, Ba'ira, Ba'irha, Ba'irha, but five different ways. So now that is right in the precincts of the masjid of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he offered that. Rasulullah himself would like the water, enjoy the water of that farm, of the orchard. He offered that. Abu Dahda. So when he heard about these things here, what he offered, the thing that he offered was, he says to Rasulullah, "Ya Rasulullah, I've got two orchards. The better of the two is this one here. And this one here has got about 600 trees. Very well, performance is very well. Ajwa, top class." Up till recently, that Ajwa, the top grade, was going at about 200 riyals a kilo. Right, so that one tree is in Madina Munawwara, that one tree is yielding two times, each yields about 200 kilos. Can you imagine just one tree, how much is getting out of it? Yeah. One tree, what is getting out of it? So he says, "I've got two farms. This one farm is got 600 trees. Right. The other one is a little bit inferior, but I'm giving this in the name of Allah Ta'ala. One for my wife and my children, and for myself. and one, I'm giving out in the name of Allah Ta'ala. Rasulullah was excited, very happy. And the hadith came thereafter. Kam min isqin ridahin wadarin fayahin li abid dahda. So many palaces, so many gardens for Abu Dahda. In Jannat, in the Hiraqi, already confirmed. So what you like most, some of it you must give. It's what bir, the perfection of piety. When I speak to the students, I tell them from now, inculcate this habit, right? Now, sometimes, in a week, there's some special in the house. Sometimes it's a pie, sometimes it's a burger, sometimes it's a samosa. Alright? So, they'll give you some, what, a dozen or something to eat. But now have it in the mind, alright, I'll eat about 9-10, and about 2-3 I'll get for some student. You like it, you're enjoying it, but bring it for that student that doesn't have it. He doesn't enjoy that comfort. Well, the reason's way is so comprehensive and so calculated, that let you enjoy, and let this one enjoy as well, some of that which you like. Otherwise, the teaching would have been, give all that you like. And he says, some of that which you like. So enjoy, but let others enjoy as well. We don't have that mentality. If this thing I cannot enjoy this, or I cannot enjoy the returns, the money of it, then I'm going to throw it in the sea. I mustn't have that mentality. Like how you see, palm oil and all that, excess milk or something, you're going to destroy that thing. You can't enjoy it, let someone else enjoy it. There's an excess in production, whether it's milk, whether it's something, some product, tomato, whatever. Right? I can't sell the thing, whatever. So let me give it to someone else. He'll enjoy it. But no, if I can't enjoy it, nobody must enjoy it. That mentality is not right. I was explaining this concept in the top masjid. I can't remember under which ayat I was explaining. You can't enjoy it, nobody else must enjoy it. If you are blocked off, right, some comfort, then the next person also may be blocked off. So if you blocked off, if you for some reason has blocked yourself off from some comfort, that doesn't mean now others, you should block others as well. For example, in this lockdown, right, so the doctors told you you've got a problem, virus got you, so you must stay at home. So because you, the trustee in the masjid, got some control. Now I don't have the access, so you mustn't have the access. I don't have the access to the masjid, so you must also not have the access to the masjid. So now this is exactly shaitanic mentality. When Allah Ta'ala threw him out, he says, فَبِمَا أَغْوَيْتَنِي لَأَقُدَنَّ لَهُمْ. Because you threw me out, I will throw them out. فَبِمَا أَغْوَيْتَنِي لَأَقُدَنَّ لَهُمْ صِرَاطَكَ الْمُسْتَقِيمِ ثُمَّ لَآتِيَنَّهُمْ مِنْ بَيْنِ أَيْدِيهِمْ وَمِنْ خَلْفِهِمْ وَعَنْ أَيْمَانِهِمْ وَعَنْ شَمَائِلِهِمْ. You threw me out, so I'll fix them up also. I will throw them out as well. So that is not human mentality, not human reasoning. Right? I am afraid to go because the problem, etc. So I will not be attending the masjid. But because of me now, why block the comfort for others? Why block the access? Let them enjoy. I'll make dua for them. Maybe in 1-2 days Allah Ta'ala will restore my health. But no, I can't enjoy it, so you mustn't enjoy it as well. That's pure 100% shaitanic mentality. It's not a human mentality. So you see this Abu Dahda. So he's got two orchards. And the better of the two, so this is in the name of Allah Ta'ala. Ya Rasulullah, spend it as you want. So this word bir comes in different places in the Quran Sharif. Inna al-abrar lafi na'im, a class of their own. Inna al-abrar lafi jannati wa na'im, faakihina bima'atahum. And then you seeing the different Anbiya alayhi salam, Zakariya alayhi salam, or Hazrat Yahya alayhi salam, and Hazrat Isa alayhi salam, both of them, that when Allah extols the virtue of Yahya alayhi salam, the word bar. Then Isa alayhi salam, Jesus, again bar. Yahya alayhi salam, abarram biwalidayhi. So, one is to say that he took care of his parents, alright? But one is to say, abarram biwalidayhi. So that is a level above taking care. One is, alright, you need something, let me see to your needs. And one is, barram biwalidayhi, he has reached the perfection. He's not only done it, but he perfected it. So to perfect this khidmat and the service, that's called bar. And I give an example normally, because you only understand through illustrations and examples. We don't grasp things fully. Imagine your parents came to your house, right? Imagine, right? So you tell your parents, you know, I'm busy now. So there's a kitchen, there's tea there, tea bags, and there's milk, water, there's a crockery, you can help yourself, enjoy yourself. And one is they came to your home, whether they're coming to your home once a week, twice a week, whatever amount of time they're coming, you know, my parents have come. Like, let me do what I can do, the best I can do to see them healthy, see them comfortable, see them happy. I must do the best. Because I want the best returns. When I want the best returns, then I must do the best for them. I want half a return, then I must do half. You know, not good examples, but that's the only language we understand, right? You're going into a shop to eat, right? So, if the waiter didn't serve you well, right, just left it there and went away, right? How are you going to tip him? And if it is, hey, boss, how are you? You enjoy the meal, you need something else, I got some cold water for you, what can I do for you? Okay, what else can I serve you with? He's seen you very well, he's talking to you with a smile, boss. Now what are you going to do? How are you going to tip him? You tip him the same. You tip him differently. Hey, this boss is a waiter, man. See how, what excellent manners he's got. See how he carries himself. He doesn't even talk to my wife. There's no eye contact. But he's talking to me with so much of respect, so much of dignity. This person, he's got a genuine concern he's got for my well-being. So instead of giving him 10 rand, I'll give him 100 rand. So when you've got your parents now in the house, and the Quran Sharif is talking about doing ihsan, not just seeing to them, but going that extra mile and doing ihsan to them, being compassionate and loving. So that perfection, you're giving a service, but now do it with perfection. Don't just do it as a formality. See, unfortunately, all our ibadah, etc., has become just a formality. And what Allah Ta'ala appreciates is not formality, it must be, the quality of it must be perfected. Otherwise, it's just you're going through the motions, making ruku, sajda, you're just going through the motions. And one is you're going the extra mile, you're doing it to the level of perfection. So the quality of that thing is quite different, totally different. Now look in the mutaqaddimeen and what was their style. To understand this, look at these people. So they had that quality of khashiyat. Khashiyat, they were overawed with the presence of Allah Ta'ala. So with that overawed feeling, the quality of their performances, their worship was totally different. We talk so much of Imam Bukhari Sahib Rahmatullah Ali, but then look, two aspects are very, very outstanding in him. One is the aspect of respect, right? So for every hadith that is recording, you'll hear in the Bukhari Khatam, it just becomes a formality. Again, it just becomes a formality. How much of us think, alright, Imam Bukhari got this perfection, he must have done some tremendous groundwork. So for every hadith that is recording, he's making ghusl, performing two rakat of namaz, then asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then recording a hadith. About 6,000 some odd hadith he's got in his kitab. But for every hadith that he's recorded, but see the pains that he took, the adab that he had shown. And then most of the hadith is bayna al-mimbari wal-qabr, you know, bayna al-mimbari wal-rawda, between the mimbar and the rawda of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. That's where he's writing. But you see the meticulous care that he's taking in penning down. And then he's drawing the help of Allah Ta'ala, not only the barakat of the place, but he's wondering how to secure the help of Allah Ta'ala. Now that is the adab that he's showing. Now that ilm, etc., it comes with adab and it comes with application. You got the ilm, so you showed that adab, respect at that level, the highest level, but you didn't stop there. Then at the second level, you applied yourself. Now, how perfectly and how well he applied himself, that he says of himself, from the day I got to know that ghibat is haram, from that day right till I died, I never indulged in ghibat, not talking and not even listening. One, you can say, no, I didn't indulge in it, but you heard all the ghibat, and you were wondering, you were thinking, you know, this thing carries on, at least I get to know people now, you know. So, to make a ta'wil is so easy. Imam Bukhari Sahib Rahmatullah wrote that kitab. He could have also learned some ta'wil, how to make things work, but did he go that direction? So one is the respect that he had shown, right? And one is how he applied himself. And then the Mu'tamad says that the aspiration was also equally great, you know, what they aspired for. So one is the application, right? One is the adab. And the third is the aspiration, where the minds were. So, towards the end of his life, they asked him, you know, do you aspire for anything? He says, yeah, what I aspire for is my Ustad Ishaq ibn Rahiway. You were alive, I would have sat in his company. So see where his mind is. Can you see a purity, love, at a level higher than this? He's applying himself. At the time he's doing the work, he's doing the adab. The mind is filled with appreciation for his elders. These were no ustads, and had they only been alive, I would have just enjoyed their company. So right around, you know, from any dimension, you look at the man, and he was filled. So when Allah speaks about Zakariya, Yahya alayhi salam, and Isa alayhi salam, so barram. You see that? So mentally you are there, physically you are there, in your intentions you are there, in your approaches you are there. All round, you got the right approach, right intention, right mindset, everything is right. So why won't the kitab get that level of acceptance? There's already 1200 years that have passed and the kitab is still running strong throughout the world. And the actual thing to be bargaining and investing is that the work that I've done mustn't die with my death. It must become stronger by the day. He died, and he must just grow in strength. You've done the thing, it must grow with you, it must carry on, continue. That you are sitting, you are lying in your grave, but your tills are still rolling, ringing. Sawab is coming in, that sawab is coming in. Look at the Fazail kitabs, right? Then you really envy the man, right? Isn't the kitabs, and then printed, and reprinted, and reprinted, and reprinted, in so many hundreds of languages, and he's just running strong there. Read, enjoyed, benefited, applied, but he's just running. Throughout the world he's just running, so many languages. So there must have been a lot of pain, a lot of difficulty that went in the preparing of these manuscripts, that up till this day now, Mullah passed away 82, sorry, 40 years. And the kitab was in circulation from the 40s. From the 40s the kitab was in circulation. So now till now it's about already 80 years. And I think it's just circulating, it's not decreasing. Man is gone, you don't see him. But really you see, if you look at his kitabs, then you see he's gone. He's still with us. Now Bukhari Sahib Rahmatullah is gone. You don't see him with us, right? But can you say that he's gone? No, man, you still see him. In his kitab we see him, in his teaching we see him, in his passing of the good we see him, all the time we see him. So that is the real life. That's real life. So you're saying, لَن تَنَعُوا الْبِرْءَ حَتَّى تُنْفِقُوا مِمَّا تُحِبُّونَ, what you love most. So the thing that you love most is your life. Is anything dearer to you than life? Anything dearer to you than life? Anything dearer to you than time? See, I was explaining to students, by the grace of Allah Ta'ala, the Quran says, yes, siru fil ard, travel. But now, the question that will come to your mind, travel and do what? Go to Bakrani and just relax there, chill down, nice, see the waves, sardines coming in, for that. Now that's half the story. You just read the verse, لا تقربوا الصلاة, you know, no namaz, لا تقربوا الصلاة. It's half the story. I finish that ayat, then you get the proper understanding of the verse. Now you just took one portion, what is suitable to you, you know, siru, Allah Baksha, travel. So you're going to Turkey, going to here. And I tell the people, boy, don't bluff yourself, going to Turkey and all that, thinking that it's an Islamic land, so we'll go to support the lira and the Islam that is there. Yes, we do compliment Erdogan for all the reforms that he brought. From where it was and to what it is now presently, it's a great, great reformation, extremely great reformation. Women in burqa, men in kurta, and children going to madrasa, maktab, all that. All that was non-existent, he's revived the whole process. But don't mistake yourself thinking that this is an Islamic land. Because people are coming from that side, with your resorts and all that. And they say, we go sometimes some resorts, a little bit out of the mainstream, and you see people in absolute birthday suits. Absolute naked. Fat people, thin people, old, young, men, women, everybody, absolute uniformity. You know, you get this shlanga, all the house uniformity, exact uniformity, absolute uniformity. So don't bluff yourself into thinking that you're going into a Muslim country. Yes, he's brought a lot of reforms. We do compliment him. We don't disregard the good that he's done, but it is still far from Islam. So when the Quran Sharif says, "Siru fil ard." Then understand what he's talking about. Travel, and then what? Fanzuru. Then fanzuru means to observe, not just watch, not just see. Like afala yanzuruna ila al-ibili kayfa khuliqat. Just watch. No, understand. See the whole disposition of that animal. See it, characteristic. See what it is. But it's born in the desert, right? And how perfectly Allah designed the thing. It's so suitable for that terrain. Absolutely perfect for the terrain. Three islands, it can take the weather conditions, the sandstorms, everything, and it can still continue. Doesn't need to have water for days or weeks, approximately a month, it doesn't need to have water. And it carries on. It can carry approximately, an average camel can carry at least 300 kilos. 300 kilos, average camel. So when Allah is saying fanzuru, he means see, observe, right? So then now you look the picture again, right? Siru fil ardi fanzuru. So life, or just translate life as time, right? Because the most valuable thing in life is time. Time is gone, you out of this picture. Are you there any longer now? After time is gone. As long as the time is there, then you are on. And time is gone, so time is the best teacher. Then the next question you'll ask, then who's the best student? So, you know, he is the best tutor, best teacher. Or who is the best student then? The best teacher got a buddhu. Is it worth the while? It is absolute stupid, retarded. They put some retarded children before him. Do you appreciate that? So the best teacher, you understood the best teacher. So then who is the best student? The best student will be then Fanzuru, who is observing the best. He's paying attention, doing the assignments, doing what he's supposed to be doing, all that the teacher requires, he's observing, he's conforming, he's doing what the teacher requires. Go learn your door, go learn your sabak. So this is the time is the best teacher. The best student is the one that observes best, he applies himself the best. Doesn't the teacher appreciate this type of a student? He's applying himself, he's observing, he's not allowing himself to be distracted, he's coming on time. He's doing exactly, understands the teacher's temperament, what the teacher wants, and he's in total conformity. He's not allowing himself to be distracted, absolutely. We had that Qadi Musa, Rahmatullah Ali, right? So he sat here for itikaf some years ago. Oh, what a beautiful student, coming from Malawi, but what a beautiful student, right? Not distracted, undivided mind, got the opportunities to do things, but undivided and totally devoted. In one single day, he's completed one sipara, hifz. Did you hear of that? In this age and day, one sipara complete, about 25, 30 pages, one day. Now that's a person whose mind is not divided, focused to the work, doing exactly what the teacher wants. So the best teacher, and then you get the best student. The best Nabi has got the best following, right? The best Nabi and the best following. Kuntum khayra ummatin. Ana sayyidu wuldi Adam. If that's the one side, then this ummat, kuntum khayra ummatin, you the best. He's the best Nabi and you the best ummat. You see that? Now the third question that comes up, you said, fanzuru, siru fil ard, fanzuru. Then look at what? Observe what? If you're doing a subject, right? You're doing medicine, these are the books. So obviously then the meaning will be then observe the books. What the teacher is offering you, accept that. Watch into, look into that, observe it, study it well. Whatever he's offering you, then you put your mind to it. So now the life becomes the best teacher, and the student that is observing, conforming, that he becomes the best student. But now the student will ask, what must I observe? You see how comprehensive, how complete the verse of the Quran, how complete, perfect. فَانْزُرُوا كَيْفَ كَانَ عَاقِبَةً. Right? And look at the end. See? Now how you appreciate this? Look at the end. If you look at the end, then you got the story right. You didn't look at the end, you haven't got the equation right. The student that is looking, the first day he's come to the madrasa, in fact before he could make up his mind to come to the madrasa or school, whatever, he is looking at the end, alright, I do this, number one, what I will get out of it, right? And how do I want my end to be? How do I want my end to be? Study, I was focused, I don't know a concept, learn it, perfect the thing. Now, I know that if I studied well, I did well, then inshallah, the end will be well. I'll be scoring, I'll be getting admission to university, and I'll just up the standards all the time. The grades, I'll just go from one grade to the second grade to the third grade, I will just keep escalating. Because I observed, right? And what I observed is, what I thought about was, what's going to be my end? So, as long as you're looking at your end, then you are focused. But if you're not looking at the end, so you say, well, I come to school, madrasa, why? Food is very nice. Well, it's nice, very nice friends, you know. Some girls also, you can have some nice good time. School is offering some sport activities, so we'll have some nice sport activities. And I'm young now, I need to pass my time as well. Now, at this age now, 11, 12, if I'm going to work and all that, it's not going to be the right thing. So, I ask you, that child, is he focused? He's not focused. He's just going through the motions. See, now, that's what we made of ibadah today. Just going through the motions. Well, I have to do it now. A further time, there was all time, Ramzan came, I just observed the fast. I just have to observe the things. But I ask you, is his mind there? Is he focused? So what must he focus on? فَانْزُرُوا كَيْفَ كَانَ عَاقِبَةُ الْمُجْنِ. See what's the end. And more, the end of the sinner or the criminal, see what was the end. So sometimes, when people, youngsters are a little bit notorious, when the thing that will shake them up, take them to the prison one day. And those hard sentence prisoners, right, will see how they jailed up in that small cell, what type of toilet they got, what type of food they got, and what type of life they're running. Now they get shaken, hey, I can't do this thing, man. What can be my end? See, when he sees that, then he's shaken up. When he sees that, he's shaken up. this eighth thing was going wild, right? And a lot of people got shaken up when they saw those eight patients, alright, so well, so strong, you know, we are not one worker, builder, perfect, his work was too good, his space brick was too good, you know, this first section that he built, too good, nobody will recognize him now, he's late, so you can talk about him, because nobody knows him, but he was too good, top paid, and his work, precision, immaculately dressed, very strong, just push work, no side distraction, nothing, absolutely. Suddenly I hear he's not coming up to work. What happened? No, he's got AIDS. If he walks from this pillar to that pillar, he's exhausted, he can't walk. And 2 months time he's gone. So now that person that saw this story here, would he risk his life? Will he risk his... So that's what the Quran Sharif is saying, see what's there. Now why the wrong? Because you get more jolted when you see the wrong and the end of the wrong. The good, you don't get so inspired. But the wrong person, what happened to him? What was the end? You see that. So exactly the same now. Some ulama were here. So they say, you know, the youngsters, we have to occupy them for the holidays. Or take them for a ride, shooting, horsing, all this. So I didn't object. They were saying, now everything you object, nothing we can do in life. Everything, just stay in the madrasa, just put your head down. So I said, alright. So I had to take him in a different ride. You can understand now how they're thinking, how they're reasoning. So I had to take him in another ride, another round. Alright, you may have had this type of events for youngsters for the holiday, take them for a shooting, take them for horse riding, running, and all that, alright. Right. From those people that you took for all these type of events, now, 10 years later, now, do you see any significant change in their behavior? Significant. That you got this out of them. Did you see anything? Nothing. I didn't see anything. So they just used you for a little bit of recreation, and that was over, and that was all finished. So that's why the Quran is saying, by focus towards the end, you're taking these children, what's going to be the end? If the end is going to be something distinct, significant, then it's worth the journey. But you got no end in your mind, and you're just taking them on. Is that the right way to think? So look now. I say in everything, in business, you look at the end, right? I'm going to invest like this, and what's going to be the returns, right? That's how you're thinking. So you look at the end. So in deen also, فَنْزُرُوا كَيْفَ كَانَ عَقِبُ. What was the end? So in order to get that right, so I'm trying this ulama, how are you going to get it right? Then the right thing is, then take them one day to Hilal Cemetery, take them one day to Dayal, Brook Street, see. And the people that are well known for their wealth or their popularity or whatever, take them to their graves, right? And see now, this man was so popular, so great, so well known, so respected, what factories he had, what money he had, what popularity and respect he had. But now, today, you are walking over his head. Today, you are walking over the person's head. See where he lies and where you are. Now, when I said this to this ulama, they're good people, right? He says to me, that I don't need to take them anywhere. I'm taking them straight to Hilal Cemetery. I said, not so irrational now. Take them in stages. You have to take them there, but in stages. Slowly, slowly, give them a food, what they like. They like burgers, pies, some braai, whatever. Right? Slowly you bring them. You chew them one shot, they can't digest that thing. You have to bring them to the Qabristan, but show them what happens. There are those students that will register straight away. And there are those students that will take on, but they need time to digest. So you don't need to prove a point. What you need to do is that they must digest the concept. So someone will come in time, and someone will come immediately. So you have to see the customer before you prepare the package. You see the customer, or this is the client, and how they are prepared. So the missing link, what's missing in this day, is this aspect of khashiyat. Therefore, laysa al-ilmu and kathrati al-riwayat. We think now, so much I know, so it's a very big ilm. And kathrati al-khashiyat, that perfection in ilm is because of the level of khashiyat that you have got. What, you know, you took something, and how much did you digest? You took something, and how much did you digest? So two stories are coming to my mind, and most of you may have heard the stories, but now listen to the stories from a different perspective. Not just a story. Musa alayhi salam's story is repeated 29 times in the Quran Sharif. 29 Sibara has heard Musa alayhi salam's story. But why Allah Pak repeated it? So that you may digest the concept properly. Don't just say, no, I read the story now, I don't need to know it. So our thinking has gone all pervert today. We're not thinking right. That thought, that concept must be deeply implanted. Now you've got it. But you just take it on the surface and I know the story. But you didn't digest it properly. So what's going to be there? I know the story. I don't need to listen to it again. Why take the story and take it to heart? Digest the thing. There's a communal right? So there's a crossfire. Young, beautiful girl, fair complexion, good looking, not married, 17, 18 years of age. And she's running away. She finds refuge in a masjid. Now, in the old days, there weren't boarding facilities. We call it Darul Iqama, we call it boarding. There weren't boarding facilities. So, students want to study by an alim, they will look for a masjid, right? And normally a masjid will have a small room. Like, we've got a small room here, a small room that side. So that student will offer to do some work for the masjid. Like, he'll give the azan, or he'll perform the namaz. So just give me a boarding facility. I need to go study by this alim. It'll take me 2 years, but I need a place to stay. So they'll give him a room. So, alright, you do this work for the masjid, we'll see your food, right? And we'll give you a place to sleep. So everything is sorted out. He's performing the namaz, etc., etc. They're looking after him, he's looking after them. Now, it's the only room is winter, severe winters in India, -1, -2. That's the only room that's got a little bit of warmth. Can't go outside. So she comes darting to the room. What happened? Communal fire, there's a crossfire. Now he doesn't know what to do. He's sitting on one side. Imagine how small that room is. She's sitting in one corner and he's sitting over. He's also young. And she's young. And what thoughts will not cross the mind? He's young, not married, 19, 20, and she's about 17, 18, beautiful as ever. And she is darted inside the room, taking refuge. So anyway, you see this khashyat, this concern, this consciousness, this awareness of Allah Ta'ala. When that is deeply rooted, then tumhara kaam ban gaya. Then you have perfected it. But you didn't get that, you just got the word. You got the word of the law, but you don't have the spirit of the law. Now, we're mistaking the whole thing. You say, I got the word, I got it. So you got the word, but you haven't got the spirit. The spirit is a different thing, and the word is a different thing altogether, totally different. So where we lie today is now, we're taking the word, and we're mistaking, misconstruing, that now we have got it already. I ask you, I need a bag of potatoes, right? I need a bag of potatoes. So you went to the market, you saw 5 pockets of potatoes all rotten, they threw it, and you brought it. You were asking for potatoes, what did you say? But you got the word, but you didn't get the spirit. Won't you say that? I said, alright, we're doing some work here, we need some hands, call 22 people. You got one person totally blind, totally deaf, and he's paralyzed. You wanted a man, I got a man, no? So we preserved the word, but we defeated the whole essence, the whole spirit is defeated. Can you work like that, I ask you? But that's the state of your namaz. You've defeated the spirit. But you got the formation, right? You got the form, but you defeated the spirit. Now it is the fazl of Allah Ta'ala that He accepts this as well. But then to take advantage, Allah accepts this, Ghafoor Rahim, you'll just take it. That is like, how it is. You're proposing for a girl, right? It's like Miss World that you're proposing for. And you've heard that she likes some type of rose, right? So you saw now, alright, this Mohan Shuaib, he bought a nice bouquet of flowers, rose, 10,000 naira. And he knows, I estimate now, he's a wealthy person. So in about 2 weeks he'll be out with the refuse, right? So it's too beautifully done and all that. In 2 weeks time it'll be out. So she wants a rose, she likes a rose, so let me take that. I ask you, she'll appreciate that. So that's what we're giving Allah Ta'ala. And I say that this is the grace of Allah Ta'ala that he is accepting this. But then, not to get up, after understanding all this, not to get up, really, 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 we don't understand and appreciate the relationship that we're supposed to have with Allah Ta'ala. مَا قَدَرُ اللَّهُ حَقَّ قَدْرِ. We didn't appreciate that. For the word, we took so much of time. 7 years, 10 years, get that thing right, get it right. Just to get the word right. But to get the spirit was the actual essence. I ask you, did we give that type of undivided attention to get the spirit? Did we give it? For the word, so much of time, so much of energy, we burnt ourselves. And we have to do it because it's for us. طَلَبُ الْعِلْمِ فَرِيدَةٌ. And you hear that famous hadith of Abu Darda, you know, one hadith, 1,000 kilometers from Medina and back to Medina. Don't we hear the hadith? But now to get the spirit right, did we take out that type of pain, that type of energy, just to get that spirit right? Now you see the student here, and he's got the spirit. So he's told the girl, hey, move away. He says, I can't move, there's a crossfire here. He can't move, she can, they're both stuck. Winter's night, starting at about 7 o'clock, ending at 6 o'clock, 11 hours. Now, he's studying, and those thoughts are running in his mind like wild, you know. You can imagine now, he's 19, 20 years of age, no, nothing to disrupt you. And there's a young, pretty little girl on one side, what can happen to you? See this khashyat, and what he does. Now, this morning, and by the morning, the girl says, the student says, now it's morning now, Fajr finished, now all the fights finished, move. So I'm not prepared to move. Move now, it's not a place for a woman, move. What you will think? No, I'm not prepared to move. Why were you immersing your hand into that lamp, that burning lamp? You were immersing your fingers, you burnt. 3 fingers you burnt very badly, terribly. Why did you do that? This is not your business. You got your safety, move. No, I'm not prepared to move. I need to know why were you burning yourself. So then he spilled the beans. He says, you see, these thoughts were overwhelming. I can't talk to you, you know. This is a kitab I'm reading. It's such a beautiful kitab. See, shaitan, how it works. You want masala here, something about, you know, about kitabun nikah, kitabun raise and all that. I teach you all the masalas, you know. All these thoughts were running through my mind. But then I'm thinking, this is shaitanic. This is definitely shaitanic, right? I need to give sadaqatul fitr, right? So sa'am min tamarin, or nisfu sa'im min burrin, right? One saw is about 3.6 kilos or something, right? So now, I can see one nice girl outside there. She's a little bit poor. I gave her sadaqatul fitr. I said, no, I've got so much of ikhlas. She's battling, so let me give it to her. Is the niyat right? You can do that thing. And you can get the whole finish right. You can get the surface right. But I ask you, is the niyat flawed or not? See that? Is the niyat flawed or not? There's a flaw, there's a discrepancy in that. So he's, now he had to spill the beans because he's thinking, don't leave. And you know, sometimes women, they're stubborn, they're very stubborn. They won't just give in. Until they don't know it, they won't just give in. So say, see, this is the thoughts that are running. And I ask myself, if I can't stand the fire of this life here, how will I be able to manage the fire of the next life? I kept on doing it. I had to do it. I had to burn myself seriously. And remind myself that if I can't tolerate this fire here, how will I be able to manage that fire? See that khashyat. So that's what he's saying. لَيْسَ الْعِلْمُ أَنْ كَثْرَةِ الرِّوَايَاتِ وَمِنْ كَثْرَةِ الْخَشْيَةِ. What's the level of khashyat? The consciousness of Allah Ta'ala. That I will stand before him. He'll ask me, what did you do? You knew about it was haram. Why did you do it? Do I have my answers? Do I have the understanding of وَلِمَنْ خَافَ مَقَامَ رَبِّهِ. You're going to stand before Allah Ta'ala. You're going to give a full record of yourself, full accountability. Now, when you have that taqwa, that level of taqwa, see that khashyat, then what Allah Ta'ala does for you? It's really, really magnificent. You have the taqwa, the consciousness of Allah Ta'ala. Just you need to have 2-3 things. Properly grounded. Taqwa, trust in Allah Ta'ala. Firmly trust in Allah Ta'ala. Stability. Firm. Bala in tasbiru wa tattaqu. Allama Iqbal rahmatullah says that farishte tumhari nusrat ko utar sakte hai. Kar fiza e badar paida, Just create the atmosphere of Badr, the malaika will come to your rescue. What? Create the atmosphere of Badr. And Badr, what they had? Bala in tasbiru wa tattaqu. Wa ya'tukum min fawrihim. With this ayah, when this ayah came? On Badr. So, if Allah Ta'ala promised at that time, His promise is not confined to time and space. It transcends time and place. But bring about those sifat. Sabr means constant, firm, strong, stability. You dedicate it. You dedicate it from the beginning till the end. And you're observing taqwa all the time. You're conscious of Allah Ta'ala. Any given time, you're aware. You're not breaking, you're not crossing the lines with Him. So no matter where you are, but Allah Ta'ala will fill the heart of the enemy with fear. But you need to bring this. Bala in tasbih. Qulubur ra'ba. What's the ayat? وَيَجْعَلُ فِي قُلُوبِهِمُ الرُّعْبَ. Allah Ta'ala will make the hearts overawed. They'll see you and they'll be afraid. Now who will do this? Allah Ta'ala will do it. But are you doing your side of the deal? Your side is remain firm, stability, hold on to Allah Ta'ala. Not turning right, not turning and holding on. With firm trust in Him that He'll make it happen. And also you're observing all the laws of taqwa at any given time. Whether in the confines and the isolation of the home, or whether in public, at any given time. At any given time, you are holding on. So now, the students, you have to give them examples that will penetrate their minds. Perhaps see, you know, you are in a beach, in a nude beach like this Turkey I was talking about, right? And you're all there alone, nobody is there to see you. Absolutely nobody is there to see you. You're all alone. Is there anything to restrain you? So no, I'll see a little bit and I'll make Tawbah afterwards. So nobody here. But when that consciousness, that awareness of Allah Ta'ala is overwhelming, you won't take a chance for a second. Because you know, it's so dangerous. It's like a life current, you know, life current that's running at a very high volt. You just touch what happens. It's your life. You know it. So it's so real for him. To him it's so real. I'm going to touch this thing, I'm gone. I won't get another chance. I touch this thing and I'm gone. I may never get a chance again. So I can't gamble with my life. I can't risk my iman. I can't risk my spirituality. I can't risk this thing. Now, when you have that level of taqwa, that trust in Allah Ta'ala, and that firmness and stability, you're waiting. Because you know it's a promise of Allah Ta'ala, it will happen. It will happen in its time. No, why he didn't do this and why he didn't do that? That means you lost the plot. That level of stability is not there. That means your nazar is not on Allah Ta'ala. Allah is saying, before this ayat, it says, وَعَلَى اللَّهِ فَتَوَكَّلُوا إِن كُنْتُمْ مِنْ. Trust in Allah Ta'ala. Your side is supposed to be in me. Now you think, he didn't play the game, and he caused the problem here, and he blocked all my opportunities, etc. So your nazar is not on Allah Ta'ala. Your nazar is only on Allah Ta'ala. See the sifat for acceptance. Yuhibbul Mutawakkil, he loves those people. But where is your sight? Have you got the trust? Do you rely on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? So now when you do this, then what happens? Now see the same story, this student story. Now that girl is already proposed because she's too pretty. Everybody, she's the queen of the town. So she's too pretty and she's got proposal, and they confirmed the proposal. Very, very, very wealthy background, they accepted the proposal. No, I'm not going to marry anybody. I'm going to marry this student. Poor, he doesn't have anything, but I'm going to marry this. See the loyalty he's got to Allah Ta'ala. Will he ever break the faithfulness to me? When he's so loyal to Allah Ta'ala, when there's nobody around, I needed his mercy, but he didn't exploit that thing. He didn't misuse that thing. For a second, he didn't misuse it. So if he's so loyal to Allah Ta'ala, won't he be loyal to me? Iska deen bhi ban gaya, uska dunya bhi ban gaya. His deen also came right, and dunya also came right. So this is where we've gone wrong today. No, Allah Pak does it, but we must do something. But what? Allah Pak does it, but we must do something. Which is the day then you'll have the total reliance? I don't say don't take the necessary procedures, but now you just dive into procedures. One person came here. Said, Allah Pak gave me so much of wealth, so much wealth. Now, can you show me a nice investment? What? So much of wealth, I don't know what to do with it. Now can you show me another? It's a nice investment. So one of my friends answered him. He said, bhai, don't look for any other investment. Allah Pak gave you like this, when you were simple, good living, and a good following Muslim, Allah Pak gave you. Now you'll turn your sight from Allah Ta'ala and do other things, third thing and the fourth thing. All that you earned, you made us lose just now. He's given you so nice, and he's made it so easy for you. Look after what you've got. Don't go and extend this thing here. Now you're going to extend this thing here, and whatever you've got, you'll lose just now. The example for it is a little bit funny, right? You got a wife, she looks after you, your children nicely, your house, everything, your mehman, your father, everybody, mother, everybody she looks after. And now, you say, no, I'm taking a second wife. Will she give you the same khidmat? I ask you, will she give you the same khidmat? Everything will be lost. You just talk about the story, says, alright. I did a lot of khidmat now. Pass the khidmat to this one here. Everything will collapse. So the thing is running well, with a little bit of moderation, do things with moderation, don't overdo it. You'll overdo it, what you've got also you'll lose. As the Shibli Rahmatullah Ali, trying to talk about the spirit, to capture the spirit. Then you'll ask him how to capture the spirit. How will you capture the spirit? So one is the spirit, and one is to capture the spirit, two different efforts. At night now, he's taking stock of himself. So he's shouting himself, the tooth of Bakhila, you're a very big miser. Bakhila, Azab. You can't find a more stingier person than yourself. So, nobody wants to be smashed down, right? They're, no, what do you think of myself? You know, I spend on Talimuddin and here and there. I'm not a Bakhila. No, tooth of Bakhila, you are a real Bakhila. Stingy. Now that's called muhasabah. That's taking stock of yourself. And for anything for you to prosper in anything, you must have your checks and balances. You must have everything in place. The external audit, internal audit, all these audits. If anything is falling down, then the audit is not right. Most of the cases, there may be other reasons why it's falling down, but many cases are like that because the audits were external or internal audits were not done. Or they just try to keep it in-house. And they were doing their own thing after that, right? So then a lot of things just collapse because of that. So you have an internal audit, you have an external audit. Internal audit, you make a hisab of yourself. External, you got a sheikh or something. So in books and accounting also, you got an internal and an external. Because the internal audit, that auditor, you pay him, see him right, he's seeing you right. Everything else, you're just making things work. Now if it's a big public company, and that thing just collapsed then, so now we had an auditor. Now what the auditor was going to see? I just did the information they gave me, I just applied myself and I did. That's the story he'll give. He won't talk about how they saw him right. Or will give one bar here, two bars that side. Just sort our things out. That's what he'll do, isn't it? So this taking stock of yourself, that was a significant thing of the people of the past. Taking stock of myself. Otherwise, I say you're wasting your time in your business, in your life, in the investments that you are making, that you're not taking stock, you're not, no hisab kitab. So he's taking stock of himself, and his nafs is saying that, tuta bakhila, you're a stingy person. Now what is a stingy person? A stingy person is that person who doesn't spend in the cause that he's supposed to be spending. Where he's supposed to be spending, he's not spending. So that's called a stingy person. Now the example for that, right? Let me give you an example. So this you may be able to register, I think. I'm going to go for an Umrah. I'm going to go to Turkey. So five friends, and each one is all right. So they're splashing 100,000, 150,000 for the 3 weeks. Right? Five brothers or five cousins, and they're splashing that, right? So, now me, I'm a generous person. See, I just spend. See, I'm a stingy person. I hoard. I don't hoard. But the same five persons, you tell them, see, your uncle or your father is not in a good way, go and help him out, you know. All you need is about, say, all in all, maybe the doctor, the hospital, etc., maximum it will cost about 150,000 naira. No, you know, the business is titled, but now things are not so. But others will also contribute, you know. I'll give 10, they'll give 5, 2. Somebody can take some zakat also and push into the man. Will we have the same type of thinking? Will we have that? Whereas this was for us. وَبِالْوَالِدَيْنِ إِحْسَانًا وَسِيلُ الْأَرْحَامِ. It's all Amr. It's all Amr, right? But for that we will be miserly. When bust that 5,000, 10,000 on a mountain top, or in Turkey, or in the Umrah, we can do it very easily. Oh, very easy. It's alright though, you know, we're enjoying it. But now that 10,000 rand, alright, I got 5,000 rand extra, but to spend it on a worthy cause, the cause that you really need to spend, وَعَبُدُ اللَّهَ وَلَا تُشْرِكُوا بِي شَيْءٍ وَبِالْوَالِدَيْنِ إِحْسَانًا وَبِذِي الْقُرْبَى وَالْيَتَامَى وَالْمَسَاكِينِ وَالْجَارِ ذِي الْقُرْبَى وَالْجَارِ الْجُنُبِ وَالصَّاحِبِ بِالْجَبِّ وَابْنِ السَّبِيلِ وَمَا مَلَكَتْ أَيْمَانُكُمْ. Does anywhere, the Berks fall, fish anywhere here? Turkey comes anywhere here? Umrah comes anywhere here? Now we're saying the neighbor, the traveling companion, the business companion, all these people, you have to take care of them. But the man is suffering, no, I can't give. The man, you go to hospital, take 100 and never mind. So where Allah didn't ask you to spend on, there you're spending. And lavishly you're spending. And you feel great about yourself. You still boast, I spend on this thing here. And where He instructs you spend on this thing here, then you don't want to spend. Man is suffering, he needs to be hospitalized, he needs to see a doctor, he's your brother, he's your cousin, right? And he's struggling, he can't go to work properly, he has to go use public transport, and you know the difficulty that he's going to do. But you got 100,000 rand. No, I can't. 2,200, I go, rather spend a holiday, take my wife and I to Umrah, I would do that. But that brother of yours, he don't want to help you. And now how are you going to answer Allah Ta'ala when He says, وَبِالْوَالِدَيْنِ إِحْسَانًا وَبِذِي الْقُرْبَى. How are you going to answer it? Have you got an answer ready for that? So that's called a stingy person. In the terminology of the Sharia, this is called a stingy person. Where you're supposed to be spending, you are spending. And when you aren't supposed to be spending, then you're just throwing the money. One wedding came and he's passing 500,000, 2 million. What people will say. So all these type of things, nonsensical, or it doesn't require that amount of wealth, you can spend all that wealth. And where you're supposed to be spending, you're not spending. So that person in the terminology of the Sharia is called Bakhil. Bakhilun ba'idun min Allah, wa ba'idun min al-nas, wa ba'idun min al-jannah, qareebun min al-nar. The Bakhil is far away from Allah Ta'ala. People don't like him. People don't like him. And he's far away from Jannah. Yes, he's very close to Jahannam. That's a Bakhil. So, do you see how we're spending? Do you think, do you understand how we're spending? So we're talking of this Shibli Rahmatullah Ali. And that thing, he's taking stock of himself. And when he's taking stock of himself, he's shouting himself. And he's defending, no, I'm not a Bakhil. And he's not saying, no, you are a Bakhil, you are a stingy person, miser. Miser is a Jew. Worse than a Jew you are, man. How you feel? Do you feel insulted? It's alright, tomorrow morning we'll challenge, right? We'll challenge tomorrow morning. The first poor person we see, we'll just give him that money. What, 40 gold coins, 40 dinars. The first poor person we see the coming morning, we'll spend it upon him. Alright, the deal is on. Next morning, as he read Fajr namaz, Ishraq namaz and all that, leaving the masjid, so he saw the barber, right? And he saw the barber, and one blind man is having his hair cut. So this is the right recipient for my money, right? So in those days, the barbers used to close early and open up early. They won't close up late and wake up late. They'll close up early and they'll get up early because they have to read the Fajr namaz, they have to read the Isha namaz. They know rozi comes from Allah Ta'ala, not from people. So the primary allegiance is to Allah Ta'ala because He is the provider. So we'll go early and we'll leave early. Now he comes 40, so he says to the blind man, you know, I want to give you a gift. So the blind man is saying, "Hey, bade acche waqt ke upar tum paise laaye. Mere paas uske paas usko paise dene ka mere paas nahi tha." You brought it at the right time, I didn't have the money to pay the barber. So, he says to the person that is taking the haircut, Apeji Saab, ye to 40 dinar hai, this is 40 gold coins. So the blind man says, humne kaha nahi tha ki tu bakhil hai. Didn't we say that you are a miser? He says, ye to andar ke chor ko usne pakar liya, he caught the thief. Now he went and offered it to the barber. Same 40 gold coins. One gold coin was working out in some, now all this Google or someone, I asked him to shake up. So one gold coin is about 4,000-5,000 rands. Now you can do the calculation how much it's worth, right? So he says the barber, alright, so he's the, he offers the barber because the fakir, that blind man does not accept it, so he give it to the barber. So look at the beautiful answer of the barber. Barber says, you see, this man when he came and sat on my chair to have a haircut, I made a niyat that I am going to do this thing here only for Allah Ta'ala. Now for this lousy corpus here, I don't want to go and contaminate my niyat. My niyat is only for Allah Ta'ala. You think for this corpus I am going to spoil my niyat? I'm not going to do it. See that? In logo ki nigaah mein paise ki kya qeemat thi? And your paisa? After the thing, you know, can be a rainy day. And see what these people here. Do we feature anywhere near them? But aren't they our imams? Aren't they our leaders? So eventually he took the money and even dumped it. So Khuda naaz kare aiso ko jo isko dil se lagaye. May Allah destroy the person who attaches this thing to his heart. Money. Fight after money. Worry after money. Tension after money. Court after money. Everything just about money. So money became the god. If you see me right, I'm your friend. But you don't see me right materially, then our friendship has snapped. I ask you, is that a friendship? Now, you show me a friendship that's not based on wealth. The person is very poor in the doldrums. You take him in your circle of friends. Show me anywhere. He's in the doldrums, absolute down. But do you take him in the circle of friends? So the friendship is for money, the relationship is for money, the happiness and the love is for money, everything is centered by money. So that's why the hadith says that until man ahabba lillah wa abghada lillah wa aata lillah wa mana'a lillah, until you don't have that, your iman is not right. فَقَدْ اِسْتَكْمَلَ iman, you love for the sake of Allah Ta'ala. You're not looking at his wealth, nothing else. Madrasa also sometimes you get someone coming in, so someone will come excited, say, hey, there's a big wealthy person coming here, huh? He's a seam writer. He's a motor now, just see him right. Talk to him nicely, huh? So that poor person, that means don't show him any respect. It's not that you don't respect the person according to his status. That's a different thing. According to his status, you will respect the person, right, definitely. But if we just subject our ikram, etc., just to wealth, I ask you, are we thinking right? Our understanding, is it right? We subjecting our ikram, our love, our respect, just to wealth. That person, he doesn't mean anything to us. So it's alright now. He doesn't make a difference to the madrasa. This person that we got in our books, our accounts will just flow, will just run. We do it for Allah Pak, but Allah Pak sends his people to us, you know. See how we think. But I don't say, you know, don't show that respect, I don't say it. But don't subject your ikram to this wealth. Otherwise, you'll see the wealth, but there's no production. The production is proportionate to the class. Purity, uncontaminated mind. That's the production. Mind is not contaminated by anything material. So you see this khashyat. So what was that distinct quality in the Shibli rahmatullah alayhi that made him behave like this? Now what, you ask yourself, if you're just going by what the kitab say now, would he have behaved in this manner? Well, I offered him, he's not taking it, so let me just multiply, like that other man said, you know, so much of money now, just multiply it even more. It was so much more, so let me multiply it even more. Look for investment and multiply, multiply. See? So that's not the goal. We will not say by in any way that waste the money, destroy the money, don't preserve the money. But that's not the goal. Our teaching is work and work with moderation. And most of the people are saying by work. Why? Because if they aren't working, then they'll go do something haram. So that work, when I encourage someone to work, even if he's got a little bit of wealth, but work, why encourage? Because that work then, it becomes a defense for him, it's a fortress for him. Because we are not like Rabia Basariya, who's performing 1,000 rakats every day. You find people there. So the whole time is occupied. Rabia Basariya to dur ki baat hai. I was reading an article, Harun al-Rashid, the king of the time, but 300 rakats every day. You ever think of doing that? He's the king running over millions of people, right? Hundreds of affairs he's running. But doing 300 rakats of namaz every day. One day he was caught up a tahajjud at about 3 o'clock in the morning. Hey. So you show it, you know, somehow, you know, yeah, man, you know, that exertion, you know, that exertion, you know, what time I got up, you know. So somehow you have to express that thing. It's not a personal relationship. If Allah gave you a gift of being good to Him, a gift of being good to Him, or good to people, don't advertise it. You're going to waste the sawab. You say, no, I must show people. Show people, right? Then, if you've done it for people, then go and claim the reward from people. And if you've done it for Allah Ta'ala, then don't make an advertisement. But between you and Allah Ta'ala, just keep it there. Keep it a private affair, so that your sawab and your reward is preserved. Allah Ta'ala.